The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Joseph. You are called to be Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, after living for 12 years in the northern United States, 7 in Chicagoland and 5 in Minnesota, 2 of which were spent near the prairie tundra in Fargo, North Dakota, made famous by the movie of the same name, I have had my share of cold, dark, merciless, and seemingly unending winter. And I remember one year, about halfway through my time in Minnesota, a dear friend of mine asked if I would like to go spend a week with her at her parents' timeshare in Puerto Vallarta. And I couldn't get the words "yes" out of my mouth fast enough. You see, my friends up north were always teasing me that I just wasn't made for the cold. So it's a good thing I moved down here to San Antonio, isn't it? Because they were right, I have to admit it. The cold always seemed to bother me so much more than everyone else. No matter how much I bundled up or tried to get moving to pump my blood through those cold veins, I honestly felt like I was cold for a solid 12 years of that entire time. Although I know summers did come and go, but summers to me were just sort of a chance to start to warm up my overall freezing body temperature, getting it a little bit closer to a more normal equilibrium. And I would spend my time out in the sun as much as I could, just like a marmot sitting on a rock soaking up the sun. So when I got this chance, right, to get in a good midwinter sun soak in the beautiful city of Puerto Vallarta and in the magical country of Mexico, I couldn't pass up that chance. I arrived at the airport a full day before my travel companions because of flight schedules, and so it was just me. And I raced to that taxi stand as fast as I could, checked into my hotel, ran up to my room, threw on my bathing suit, and headed down to soak up some sun and to swim in those warm waters. And when I took that first dive into the ocean, I couldn't believe how the water felt all over my body. Warmth gushing over me and this warm water warming up every last inch of me. Warmth sinking past my skin and into those shivering bones, bringing me back to life. And I luxuriated in every last moment of that day at the beach. Diving into water, really whether cold or warm, depending on your fancy, is one of those enchanting moments for which almost every human being shares a common fondness. The fullness of it, the release, the comfort of the waves and the water lulling you and holding you, it's altogether fabulous, pure joy. But sometimes it is so long in between. Sometimes it seems you won't ever feel the sun or feel the water on your back and all around you. I mean, there were days in Minnesota where I longed for the sun to appear even just for a brief moment, having been hidden by the clouds and grayness for weeks at a time. And when it would make a showing, even just for a few marvelous moments, the glory of it was so brilliant, it was awe-inspiring to behold. It stopped me in my tracks and made me recognize its worth, this sun, and I would pause to soak it in and pray that it lasted in glory in each and every minute until it said goodbye again. And I wonder sometimes if this picture that I've been painting this morning isn't incredibly similar to what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus. There are so many days where we wait, longing for God to appear. We wonder, in fact, where we might even spot God or see God or find God in this troublesome world. When we look at the refugee crisis, which has become a global affair, we are tempted to say there's no solution. That's the realistic answer anyway. How can we possibly find homes for so many displaced people? And when we look at the issue of race in our country, on the eve of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we realize with tensions so high in our own nation, we have so far to go before we reach Dr. Luther King's prophetic and poetic dream that he preached about. And closer to home, we long for God to appear as we await test results or deal with the actuality of bad test results. We look for God when our marriages are in jeopardy, our children are having trouble at school, and we just found out that our job is ending. We search for God when we can't make ends meet, when we can't meet the demands of our daily schedules, and when we just feel that waywardness about our soul, a fleeting sadness that we cannot seem to shake. We aren't alone in this search. There have been seekers for thousands of years, those men and women who found themselves yearning for something more, who saw glimpses of a greater truth that pointed them in the right direction. And 2,000 years ago, one such man came into the world, not knowing precisely what light would follow him, but pointing in the direction of that light nonetheless. We know him as John the Baptist, right? And historically, we've been taught to identify him by his crazy clothing, his wild hair, and his weird diet, right? But knowing him in such a fashion only serves to place this distance between him and us. And this morning, I'm much more interested in what we have in common with this man. He lived a life full of hope. And it was a hope founded on a rather flimsy foundation, if you want to know the truth. All he really knew was that he was pointing the way, that he was doing his best to prepare people to recognize the full light when it came into the world. He didn't know exactly what this light would look like, but he had enough vision of the glimpses of what it promised to be that it kept him going. Did you notice when we read in our gospel for this morning, he says twice he admits, I myself did not know him. I didn't know who was coming. I didn't know exactly what to expect, he admits. And then he goes on to say that he was just given these clues by God, right? I'm supposed to baptize with water, that I know, and I'm supposed to wait until someone comes on the scene, and then I'll know because the Spirit will descend like a dove. That's all he knew. That's all he had to go on. And yet those small glimpses into the future that God had for him, the future that was going to unfold before him, were enough. Today we have moments where we feel immersed in God's presence. When we witness a baptism, or our grandchildren laughing, or our beloved with that knowing smile on their face, a visage reserved just for us. We may feel immersed when we see a homeless person whose life is changed for the better, or when we spend a day in service to pack food for the hungry, or when we clear the leaves off the lawn of our elderly neighbor. We may feel immersed when we come to this community of faith, and we see dear friends, both old and new, and we find communion around this sacred table and communion in our casual fellowship around other tables as well, as we talk with fellow sojourners continuing the search. And on our better days, in between these sacred moments, we point, like John the Baptist did, to where we know the light and joy is coming from. We linger around that source and we wait for it to reveal itself again, just like John did, and just like waiting for that sun to come again that we know will one day arrive. But on the harder days, we need reminding. Sometimes the in-between stretches for far too long, and we find ourselves wandering aimlessly, having forgotten where the light was emanating from in the first place. And on those days, it's easy to beat ourselves up. It's easy to believe we have nothing left to go on. It's easy to find ourselves wanting to give up, to rest, to drop the torch, to forget about the light. But to this, our dear and ancient friend John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the whole world." Our faithful friends today would probably use different words to make this same proclamation, but the meaning wouldn't change. There is one we point to, even on the darkest of days, one that draws our eyes and beckons us to follow in his footsteps, one whose strong light will not fail us ever, for it is forged of a love that the world cannot fully know, even though it longs for this love all the same. One day, it will be different. We will experience that love fully and completely. But here and now, we are just beginning the climb. We have a lot further to go. But oh, the things we will witness on the way, the glimpses we will be given, the small joys that will suffice. One day, it will be like diving into the ocean in Puerto Vallarta or some other beautiful place. But until then, with a little bit of water and just a small glimpse of light, we can point to the one that sustains us and holds us fast to a hope that does not disappoint. Amen.